Topic 31, The Dark Forces. 1. I might here touch upon the paralleling activity of the forces which are working to prevent the externalization of the hierarchy of light, since such a happening as that would mean increased, because proven, power. As you know, on the astral and mental planes, centers exist which are called dark centers, because the emphasis of their activity is upon the material aspect of manifestation and upon the activity of material substance. All energy is subordinated to purely selfish purpose. As I have stated before, the forces of light work with the soul hidden in every form. They are concerned with group purposes and with the founding of the kingdom of God on earth. The dark forces work with the form side of expression and with the founding of a center of control which will be theirs entirely and which will subdue all the living forms in all the kingdoms to their peculiar behests. It is the old story, familiar in biblical phraseology, of the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of the Christ, of the power of the Antichrist and the power of Christ. This produced a great climax in Atlantean days, and though the hierarchy of light triumphed, it was only by the merest margin. The battle was fought out on the astral plane, though it had its correspondence upon the physical plane, in a great world conflict of which the ancient legend tells us. It ended in the catastrophe of the flood. The seeds of hate and of separation have been fostered ever since that time, and the three modes whereby the forces of darkness seek to control humanity are hatred, aggression, and separativeness. The three great spiritual counterparts are love, selfless sharing, and synthesis. However, the hold of the forces which are working against the living principle of love as embodied in the hierarchy is not gaining ground at this time, for the response of humanity to that which is good and synthetic is much more rapid and general than it was a few hundred years ago. There is much reason to hope that there will be a steady waning of the undesired control. The dark forces are ruled on the physical plane by a group of 6 Oriental leaders and 6 Occidental leaders. Of these, the Oriental are the most powerful because they are the oldest racially and therefore the most experienced. They work by the identification of glamour and by the stimulation of the lower psychic powers. Their particular point of attack at this time is the group of world, disciples, and initiates, for these latter are responsible for the fostering of love in the world and for the binding of men together in the spirit of unity. If they cannot succeed with this task now, it should be possible to externalize the hierarchy and thereby greatly lessen the control of the so-called evil forces. If these evil forces cannot induce the disciples everywhere, in group formation or individually, to succumb in some form to glamour, then they will endeavor to utilize group glamour to negate their efforts and force those with whom the disciples work to believe evil, to impugn motives, and to produce such a convincing story that the struggling disciple will be left to fight almost single-handed. If this cannot be done, they may then attack the physical bodies of the workers and agents for the hierarchy, and seek, through the distress of the physical body, to control the disciples' output. This does not always prove successful, as the master can, and often does, protect his disciple. The dark forces work also through the identification or stimulation of the psychic mechanism, so that the lower psychic powers become abnormally developed and prematurely assume proportions which are almost uncontrollable. This happened on a large scale in Atlantean days, and led to the entire astral plane standing revealed, but not understood. Its undesirable potencies were then let loose upon the physical plane, and this led to the war between the two great schools of the mysteries, the light and the dark, which culminated in the destruction of the then known world. Today, these potencies, light and dark, are again struggling for physical plane expression and supremacy, but this time the result is vastly different. The effort to produce soul contact or to hinder it is working out in the form of nervous diseases and pathological conditions, and this is affecting potently the group activity of man. The effort by the dark forces to stimulate the lower psychic powers seems able to reach no deeper into matter and form than the etheric vehicles, and from there to condition the physical body physiologically in the form of diseases, lesions, nervous troubles, and brain afflictions, and the many other ways in which the human being is rendered helpless and unfitted to cope with daily living and modern world conditions. But the mind nature has reached a stage of protective usefulness, and some of the great guarding barriers which are flung up around humanity at this time are the spirit of skepticism and the refusal to recognize the existence or the usefulness of the psychic powers. This is a point to remember. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, pages 576 through 579. 2. The major weapon now being used by the combined forces of evil is chaos, disruption, lack of established security, and consequent fear. The entire rhythm of international thinking has to be altered, and that constitutes a slow and arduous task. The evil personalities which in every country are responsible for the chaos and uncertainty have eventually to be replaced by those who can work in cooperation with the rhythm of the seventh ray and thus produce ordered beauty. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 668.